4 days later, Maisie was at the podium preparing for the ribbon-cutting ceremony. She practiced pivoting the blades of the oversized scissors near a wide green ribbon. Haley sat like a jackrabbit behind the podium, surveying the landscape and twitching ears whenever a reporter whispered from the audience. Just as Haley's right knee started bouncing up and down, Counselor Woods arrived and took a seat beside Haley, a bit surprised to have a seat upon the dais. Olivia's face and clothing were covered in dirt, and she stashed a pair of bolt cutters behind her chair.
You're late. They're about to start.
Couldn't be avoided. I wish I had had time to clean up.
Thanks for being here. Crowds scare me.
Oh, I wouldn't miss this announcement for anything. You deserve the praise of bliss for your selfless actions, never grumbling about all-night sessions or your meager salary. You're just perfect.
Well, that's not me. Not the full me.
No, but it's what I like about you. Pure dedication in your heart. At first, I thought it was physical attraction, but your purposefulness gives me courage.
You just want to distract me from the worrying.
I'm about to draw on your courage, despite the consequences.
Then Maisie straightened her uniform, advanced to the podium, and began her speech.
Today marks another momentous occasion for the city of Blease. When the El Paso area was first settled, Apache attacks were major threats. Using the only available resource, our foremothers and forefathers settled areas such that the Rio Grande River would serve as a defense against the raids. Since that time, our proud city has relied on and promoted technological advances for defense. Of course, I am talking about the time we welcomed Wernher von Braun and his team post-World War II. Those rocket scientists conducted their ballistic missile research at the original Fort Blease here in the heart of El Paso. As ocean waters rose and the atmosphere's oxygen levels correspondingly dropped, we faced new challenges. We lost the ability to transport Diamox to the rebranded city of Blease. The ministry responded by repurposing a factory to manufacture pills for all city residents. 13 years ago, the ministry built a fence that surrounds Blease to avoid javelina raids. We managed to electrify the fence, but only enough to fend off one or two attacks per evening. You may have heard that vegetation recently returned to the fence line boundary areas. This wild parsley grows up to 3 feet and has provided javelina squadrons an ideal breeding ground. The number of fence attacks has been increasing to as high as 7 some nights. Therefore, the Department of Defense has an increasing need for additional sources of power. Today I present Haley Firstwater, a nuclear chemist and savior who has discovered how to tap energy from within us. Please welcome this brilliant young scientist who can harness power from our emotions.
Maisie retreated from the podium while Haley timidly crept forward, carrying a small tear jar and a 1-page speech.
Thank you, Colonel.
Louder.
Thank you, Colonel Turret. Early this year, I discovered that human emotional response tears contain a radioactive isotope of helium that is generated whenever people feel a loss. This week, the ministry will be distributing these tear jars to every household. Please collect your sorrow tears in it. Don't bother with tears from slicing onions. When the gel inside turns blue, please return it to any ministry casino or Diamox dispensary. From there, we'll convert it into energy necessary to power the fence. Estimates show that the City of Bliss may even generate enough electricity to begin refrigeration or nighttime lighting again.
Amen. I can be silent no longer.
Counselor Woods bounded for the podium.
We The citizens of Bliss can now demand the ministry return children to families who lost it all. Who is with me?
Counselor Woods.
For the press, that's Counselor Olivia Woods.
You don't know what you're saying. Someone has filled your head with fantasies.
I am righting an injustice committed by the ministry. As citizens, we are culpable for the ministry's actions.
This is a press release, and you
will not be silenced.
Thank you all for coming to this event. We look forward to updating the public about this new energy source in future hearings. Please collect more information at the tables outside.
Maisie dismissed the press corps, and Haley slunk off to avoid the impending confrontation. When the crowd had gone, Maisie turned to Counselor Woods.
Now I'll have to clean up your mess. What made you jump up during my speech?
Haley's speech.
Cualquiera. I thought you understood press release decorum.
I've got a weak spot for families who lose it all.
Who gave you the right to issue screwball demands during this announcement?
I stood up. For the first time in my life, and my demand wasn't screwball. It is relevant to the conversation.
How?
The ministry has been lying to us all along about power generation. You honestly didn't know about the wards, did you?
What about them?
The wards are taken down to the old power plant. Human labor generates electricity for the fence. From the wards.
Where did you get such a local belief?
From me.
Gerald materialized from the shadows where he had been lurking.
He's your source. I might have known.
I went there and saw for myself. We even helped a young woman escape.
You snuck down to the old power plant?
Last night was a full moon and cloudless. Perfect for nighttime reconnaissance.
Into the dragon's belly.
Is it true about the wards being alive here in Bliss? Did you find Julio?
Who's Julio?
Julio's our son. Last night we only saw girls, so no Julio. Liv wanted to use bolt cutters to...
Oh, this is too much. What's going on?
Ministry wards are in a forced labor camp, and the stench of juveniles is unbearable. That's where electricity comes from.
You never told me you had a son taken away as a ward.
I didn't want to make you cry. Maisie and I agreed we wouldn't mention it.
You're lying. Again.
It never came up in
You knew he gambled our only child away 10 years ago. You wouldn't have let him hump you.
I thought your ward investigation was to win me over, but it was really about you the whole time.
You were the inspiration. Ow!
You can't stop lying.
Did you put Woods up to making this proclamation at my press conference?
Liv, just forgive me.
And you gambled away your only... Suck it. Forever.
Olivia stomped off, leaving only Maisie and Gerald on the dais.
Now that the histrionics have left the building, have a seat.
No need.
I insist.
Maisie shoved Gerald onto the chair for her interrogation.
Julio, who might be alive and at the power plant.
Yes.
And you haven't told your superiors about your findings.
No one but Olivia. And now you.
Por qué?
I don't cross the ministry. And don't know who I can trust. You work for the ministry. You know they're particular about who has access to...
Does Haley know?
I didn't tell Haley anything.
How is the electricity generated?
Exercise equipment. Julio'd be about the same age as the oldest ones we saw.
You took Woods with you. But you didn't think to tell me that our son might be alive? And somewhere inside the city limits?
I really didn't have a choice.
Julio is my only son.
Mine too.
Only one you admit to.
I loved Julio.
Sure, you loved him. But 10 years ago, you adored your gambling more. If you really loved Julio and wanted him back, you would have come to me.
I plan to tell
you. I thought Julio had joined the flotilla and I'd never see him again. How long have you known?
6 months.
6 months? You told me nada and did nothing. Swine.
Maisie swung the oversized scissors at Gerald's fat head and knocked him unconscious.
Finally, at loss for an excuse.
Maisie had reached the end of her rope with Gerald's secrets and deceit. She removed his wallet's identification and arranged to have his limp body dumped outside the Bliss fence.
Let him fend for himself among the pigs.
That was the end of Gerald Sampson. Two months later, half-full crates of blue tear jars were scattered about the control room. Haley counted them a second time, hoping that a few crates had been missed. Counselor Wood stood nearby.
I expected the tears program to take only a few weeks to get going full force, but your disclosure ruined it all.
What do you mean?
The public isn't participating, and it's already the third month of the program. If you haven't mentioned the wards, then we...
Still getting electricity from the old power plant? Child labor wasn't part of your plan, so how'd I ruin it?
Supply is way down. Projected numbers versus actual tears. I hadn't counted on hundreds of ministry wards returning to their families. People have been crying happy, not sad, so everything is diluted. You made me look stupid.
Give the program time.
It's all been squandered. You've unleashed a plague of happiness.
A horrendous fate for a grief counselor, leading my people into the desert of jubilation.
Stop mocking me. Humans spend so much time building relationships, more than all other creatures. Think of all the time you and I have spent together this year.
Has that been a waste?
There's so much potential tear energy churning around in our bodies. Our frames aren't made to harness it.
And yet we welcome new people in. All the time.
No! No, we clash there too. Humans only take in new relationships when we're not full of that nauseating, churning energy. When we're full up, we let good relationships pass right by.
Like those families that lost a child and then had another?
Any type of relationship. What do counselors say about our capacity for love?
Not for love. It's the capacity to love, Haley. We don't each have a uniform amount doled out.
No. It's a fixed volume.
Don't you believe you have as much capacity as I...
You and I have the same capacity. Your eyeballs are just leaky valves, so tear energy is always pouring out. Most adults collect tear energy in a bucket. Counselor Woods, you use a colander.
I'm sorry I ruined your experiment. Toasted again by the dragon. I guess this year has been a waste.
Nothing can redeem all this effort if we have no fuel.
So what's that mean for us?
Mean for us? It means that we can't keep the electric fence operating for more than a few hours each night.
I meant... What's this mean for our relationship?
As Counselor Woods threw up her arms, Maisie entered the control room.
You said a few hours each night.
At this rate, we need less fence or more sad people.
I was having a private conversation with...
This unexpected downturn may compel the ministry to take drastic action. I am going to propose reopening the
power... The old power plant? Absolutely not. The Ministry can't recapture wards and treat them as slaves.
Permit me to finish. Wards found it challenging to reintegrate into society. We reopen the old plant for the fittest as a workplace where the Ministry provides room and board.
That solved the immediate power crisis, but not a good way to up tier generation levels.
Citizens have been happier lately. But the old power plant symbolizes ministerial oppression.
This isn't about the optics. It's about defense.
You can't flip-flop on freeing the wards. You'll have a full revolt.
We're dealing with a crisis.
I agree. The citizens don't trust.
You don't understand. We have an external security threat.
What sort of threat?
Something bigger than javelinas?
You've said too much. Counselor Woods, you'll have to leave. My intelligence facts haven't been cleared for public distribution.
I'll just excuse myself from your deliberations and move on. You've treated me as a cow all along. Just milking me for tears.
Counselor Woods stormed out once again.
Does she always make such dramatic exits? The Ministry was aware that tier goals weren't met last month. Haley, are you paying attention?
Huh? I made a colossal blunder.
A morning briefing on the Western Fence.
Olivia thinks she meant nothing to me.
She always gets over it.
Counselor Woods stormed back into the room.
Haley Firstwater, I rescind my apology for ruining your experiment. I will never regret speaking out. It's better to reunite families than to make electricity.
Olivia intentionally overturned a box of tear jars and departed once more.
It's better to have both.
Anyway, a search mission determined the vegetation has multiplied and provided a breeding...
A search mission was sent out?
Seeking the girl that Counselor Woods and Gerald helped escape. The dense umbrella for vegetation...
You mean parsley?
Correct. The parsley was intentionally sown near the northwestern fence. The search even revealed crudely built shovels.
So?
Some outside militant group must know that Bliss is threatened by javelina incursions. And this militia is trying to...
An aggression?
Why else would subversives plant parsley?
To eat. Floaters have eaten parsley as a diet staple since my childhood.
Whether it's for food or for weakening our defenses...
An invasion? Really?
No, it may constitute a passive attack, increasing javelina populations, diminishing our fence power, until the rural troops are prepared to launch a head-to-head offensive.
I grow parsley in my apartment. It's easy. All you need is fresh rainwater.
You're suggesting it may only be a small outside militia. Well, then a limited number of troops could take them down.
That's not what I said.
If that's true, all our problems could be solved. We'll recruit wards and train them tactically at the old power plant. When they go into battle, their families will cry. Electricity production numbers will go up again, and we can eliminate...
What about diplomacy?
The Ministry doesn't have a diplomatic corps. Casualties from sortie missions could solve our tier supply issues for you.
Olivia wants to preserve the families.
And such efforts could solve Ministry issues with population control.
You're a ghoul. Would you send your son off to war?
I really wouldn't have a say in that.
Why not?
Julio claims I betrayed him. He blames me, even though Gerald was the one who gambled him away. Says I was complicit. He didn't think I loved him because I never smiled.
Feature I normally respect in people.
He's off looking around town for his father to get the truth.
At least you have hope that Gerald might reach him.
With a tear jar, I might be able to power the fence all by myself.
If she had the ability to feel. Maisie unscrewed a jar and waved her hand about her face in an effort to cry. Easier to get blood from a turnip than for her to shed tears. That's why her son couldn't forgive her. But rage, Maisie knew. She flung the jar across the room.
Well, maybe Julio was right about me. No smiles. And no tears.
An ideal ambassador. You should negotiate with the parsley planters.
Absolutely not. Because I never settle for a tie. A diplomat must want both sides to win. Someone like you.
You're not joking. What about Olivia?
With Counselor Woods as our emissary, next month we'd be powering daiquiri blenders for the enemy.
But the Tears Project...
Your role is over. Temporarily. Time to move on.
But I'm an applied scientist.
You're a problem solver. You're the smartest person I know for synthesizing solutions. You collect all the data and distill it into something useful. You can negotiate if you set your mind to it.
How did this happen?
The heaviest burden is a great potential.
Accompanied by a call for extraordinary sacrifices?
The lab will be here for you when you return. We've got the true backup plan if you fail, and that'll guarantee power to the fence.
Combat can't be the solution.
Then don't fail. Make Olivia proud.
I cannot picture myself in this mission.
You decide what must happen. Leave if you must, but... No, I don't want you to go.
Why not?
Because I don't know if you'll return, soldier. In you, I see my hopeful Julio, the child I lost.
Olivia would call that psychological transference.
I'll give you 2 weeks to show some progress. Any progress.
After that?
Let's just say any progress.
Mother, Colonel Turret. Mom always had that way about her. She'd make ultimatums without issuing specific threats. Even those hadn't stopped Gerald from gambling me away. Four days later, Haley had cleaned the lab and was almost prepared for a walkabout into the parsley jungle. As Haley finished packing the last box, Counselor Woods strode into the laboratory, still miffed about the fight they had had a few days earlier.
You wanted me to stop by?
I owe you an apology.
No, you don't.
I was wrong to get mad at you.
Yes, you were. Are you sincere?
Have you ever known me to not be sincere?
I've never known you to admit you were wrong, either.
It's a disturbing emotion. Wrongness.
What's up with the storage boxes? Did you lose your job?
I'm giving up science for a while. Hopefully a short while. No one needs a research lab until the next big discovery.
Haley, tell me what's going on.
I'm going to be a diplomat.
No. No, really. What's with the backpack?
I can do this. I need you, of all people, to have faith in me.
Of course I have faith in you. But diplomacy?
Come along for the adventure.
I can't. Family reunions are keeping me so... But what happened to make you give up science?
A group of outsiders planted parsley where javelinas breed, and I need to convince them to keep it cut short.
You? Discussing farming policy? Why?
It's a community problem, and I'm a problem solver.
Why not let Colonel Turret...
You don't want her negotiating.
Oh. You're right. What'll you bargain with?
Our favorite currency, Diamox. It was the best bartering item with the floaters.
The floaters who all drifted away. Have you considered maybe these new mysterious outsiders were the floaters? They pulled up anchor just before the javelinas got more active. Your family might be just outside the fence.
I hadn't considered that.
This whole journey would make sense.
It cannot be that easy.
Nobody said it would be easy to leave Bliss. You'll still be exploring dead ends, but without a microscope.
My family might be there.
Give my best to your sister and mother.
You never knew them.
I've known them so many times through your vacant stares.
That's not like knowing them for real.
To tell the truth, I don't think you know them for real. You've painted your sister as an invalid and your mother as a martyr. That's not your real family.
Even I've changed a bit.
Nothing like families for drama. Even Maisie scheduled a session with me again. I hope she won't bring Gerald.
That reminds me.
Haley dug down into a box and pulled out a vessel slightly different in shape to the standard tear jars.
After you help grieving people, keep this special jar nearby.
Why is this one special?
Fabricated exclusively for you. Your tears can power it as a night lamp. You won't have to strain your eyes to read in the evenings.
Olivia embraced Haley, and Haley returned a deep hug. Haley had never spent so long a time in contact with anyone. It didn't feel bad.
Did you know your eyes are blue? They match the tear jars.
Thank you so much. I'll cherish it. Always.
The new design as a lamp didn't take much effort.
But the hug did. It was sincere and heartfelt.
Based on your help. I'll miss you.
Did your team ever discover what generated helium-6 atoms?
Because the wellspring seemed to be carrying relationships. We postulated that it was similar to those cases where fishermen's lines get crossed and need to be snapped to break free. That hypothesis we couldn't design tests around, so we just accepted the produced energy as a divine gift. I was wrong, and you were right. The energy wasn't the important discovery. The connections to other people were.
Haley slung on a backpack and plodded out of the lab. Counselor Woods collected her breaths, and then gathered a few tears as they dripped into the jar. The special jar began to glow.
Oh. It's warm.
Hello, Radioland. My name is Christian O'Neill, the director of The Glimmer Within by Ken Walsh. On behalf of Ken and our cast of performers, we hope you enjoyed our fourth and final installment of The Glimmer Within. Stay tuned after the credits for exclusive interviews with our voice artists. Starring tonight's show is Danny Mullins as the narrator, Liz Webb as Haley Firstwater, Leah Fitzgerald as Olivia Woods, David Kleonsky as Gerald Sampson, and Marina Insulin as Colonel Maisie Turret. Sound design and direction by Christian O'Neill. Music by Kevin McLeod at incompetech.com. This audio play was produced by the Cary Playwrights Forum. The Cary Playwrights Forum, or CPF, develops and produces new plays written by North Carolina playwrights. Visit caryplaywrightsforum.org to learn more. And now for our exclusive interviews with the cast.
How I relate with my character from Glimmer Within.
I relate to Gerald in a lot of ways. I'm a big romantic. Sometimes, like Gerald, I make big promises that I don't always deliver on, but I'm trying to get better at that.
I'm the narrator, so I always sort of think that, you know, you're the narrator of your own life, so this is sort of, I feel like I can relate to it on that, you know, but in the grand scheme of things, I come from a close family. I have two brothers, and my parents, we're all very close, so I will happily say that I do not relate to my character all that well. I do not have sort of a vendetta against my family or any sort of ill will towards my father, certainly.
Haley's an interesting character. She's got some pent-up aggression that I sometimes understand with the state of the world. She's also got some sass to her, which I love. I can be a very sarcastic person, so I appreciate the sarcasm in there. But I feel like Haley also is kind of a people pleaser. She doesn't like when people are upset around her because she doesn't really get it. She doesn't understand that when somebody is upset with her or when somebody is hurting, she just doesn't want that tension. And I am very much a person that doesn't like when others seem to be upset around me. I just feel like it brings everything down and I don't like that. But I do love Haley's strength. I think that she knows who she is. She knows that she's smart. She knows what she can do.
Liz, who plays Haley, is my fiance. So we live together. So, technically, even though my character is primarily the narrator and doesn't really talk to many of the characters, I feel like I'm talking to her all the time. So I know that's sort of the inspiration for the character in this show is the story that he's telling. So I found that to be helpful in getting into my character and helping the show move forward.
Well, beyond the fact that Maisie is Latina and I'm also Latina, I think I relate to the character, to Maisie from Glimmer Within, in the sense that she's very no-nonsense. She has to be in her position that she's in. And certainly with my kids and in my work life, I can also kind of come across as no-nonsense. I'm kind of direct. In fact, my boss teases me sometimes and says, uh-oh, Marina's in cutthroat mode. So I think those are some similarities between myself and Maisie.
My favorite line spoken is everything to do with Gerald. Obviously, I think you can hopefully hear the venom of how Julio feels towards Gerald and everything that Gerald put him through. But specifically, this is towards the end of the show. You know, Gerald is finally done. You know, that was the end of Gerald Sampson. It feels like that's a pivotal moment for my character, for Julio, the narrator, because he finally gets to tell the end of his father.
I think overall, I'm a bit softer than Maisie. I don't think I'm as tough as her. I certainly don't have a hard time crying. I can cry a lot easier than Maisie can. Maisie just doesn't seem to quite have that ability. So I think in that respect, we're different. But I think that in some aspects of my life, I probably come across as a person that people might think of as someone that wouldn't cry, although that's not true.
So I guess a shout out, I could probably read you every shout out I've ever done in any program ever for a show. I obviously always want to thank my family and my friends because they've been constant support for all of this. They're the ones that are always pushing me to work
hard and audition for all of the shows that I want to, but also to pursue my dreams and to do what I want. And I always appreciate that. My mom has been your typical theater mom from when I was a baby. So it's always fun for them to be able to come see my shows. And then I have to give a shout out to my fiance, Danny. He very graciously agreed to read for the narrator in this show, and he's done that a few times with virtual readings that we've done. He's always been very supportive of me pursuing theater and being active in the community because he knows how much it means to me. But also a huge shout out to Christian and the Cary Playwrights Forum for putting this together, and to Ken for writing such a fun show. This show is very interesting, and it's just so smartly written, and it's so much fun. This is actually the second time I've gotten to read for Haley, and every time I do, I just find little bits and pieces of new layers of Haley that I love so much, and that I can relate to, that I love that we're bringing to life in a way with this reading. So I hope everybody enjoys it, and I hope that everybody gets to have as much fun as we did putting it together. So thank you.